Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Dr. David Mackereth, and I am a Christian doctor who's recently retired, and also I am a Christian preacher and expositor of God's Word. The things that I need to speak about today are not easy things to speak about or good things to speak about, but they must be said in the hope that we might, by some means, that this message and the contribution of many other Christians speaking up might somehow lead to a change in our society. Now, of course, we must first of all concern ourselves with the preaching of the gospel. But everywhere around us, we're now seeing disintegration in our Western society, which is explainable by one very simple fact. We have turned our backs upon the God of the Bible, and we have turned to idols, all kinds of idols of our own making, of our own choice, of our own desire. So this is not an easy message, and I want to start by reading from Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 12, and we read here these words. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. Now, here we are being told quite plainly that it's better to meet a bear that is distressed and angry and fierce and on the warpath and irrational and looking for its cubs, which are lost or stolen or taken, than to meet a fool in his folly. To put this in context, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. By the way, I do pray that this message would run and that it would be heard by many people and in the right place. Lord, have mercy and use this for your glory, and help me to declare this for your glory, I pray, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. This has to do with Elisha, this is the prophet who followed Elijah. So 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse is 23 and 24. These are shocking words, but nevertheless, the word of God. And he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and tare 42 children of them. Shocking words. This was the judgment of God against them for their mocking of the one who was preaching their word. So we have here a situation where the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says that he would rather meet a bear robbed of her whelps, robbed of her cubs, than to meet a fool in his folly. And we see in 2 Kings chapter 2 there just exactly what a she-bear can do when she's angry. Each of them killed 21 or 42 between them children on that occasion. And yet, it is better for us to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than to meet a fool in their folly. Now, the things I'm going to talk about now are very foolish, and they're going on in our nation, in our society, and in other nations as well. And these things should grieve us. We should mourn over these things. So many of you will be aware of my story, that I'm a Christian doctor who 5 years ago lost my job with the Department for Work and Pensions over the question of the use of transgender pronouns. This occasioned a legal case against the British government, and that legal case is still going on, and I'm ably and capably backed and supported by the Christian Legal Centre and Christian Concern. Recently, I wrote to the General Medical Council asking them if I was fit to practice medicine, since a question mark had been raised over my fitness on account of my refusal to use transgender pronouns. 5 years ago, I was saying that this issue of pronouns is the issue upon which everything hinges. The battle can be fought and won on the battlefield of pronouns. And this is the issue that's really coming to the fore now. Are we to be forced to use pronouns? Are doctors to be forced to use pronouns in a new and different way, to use transgender pronouns? Or are we going to use the English language to define reality instead? These little words, these little pronouns are really, really important. He and she are really important words. But I'm going to mention four articles in the Daily Telegraph in the last couple of days. The first one is entitled, and I read it verbatim, it is entitled, Tampons Provided in Men's Toilets at General Medical Council Offices. That I find distressing. that I find disgusting, and I found it absolutely appalling, and that these should be in men's toilets. Now, I wrote to the GMC several months ago, referring myself to them for my refusal to use transgender pronouns, and the reply I got said that I hadn't offended anybody, and therefore I was fit to carry on practicing medicine. But what it didn't say was whether doctors should or shouldn't use transgender pronouns. Well, this article in the Daily Mail makes it very clear that the GMC is as affected by transgender ideology as any other organisation. What I'm suggesting is that the reason they didn't reply was not because they don't have a position on the subject, but because if they came out and said doctors should use transgender pronouns, they would be a laughingstock in the medical profession. I would hope they would be a laughingstock in the medical profession. Yet those items in the men's toilets, tell us that their position is very clear on the matter. In fact, when interviewed by the Daily Telegraph, they said that they wanted to be inclusive. Helen Joyce, who commented in the article in the Telegraph, said that the GMC should be aware that biological sex is real and that male and female isn't an identity choice. Absolutely. This tells me that the GMC is no longer able to answer the question. What is a woman? And Proverbs says, Solomon says, better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. I don't believe the GMC can guide doctors if they're taking this position on biological sex. It is absurd, ridiculous nonsense. It is ideological foolishness in the extreme. And these are the people who are running or regulating the medical profession, who are responsible for patient safety. This is a disaster for the nation. And again, I assert my belief that the GMC didn't answer my question, not because they were being kind, but because they were dodging the question. Then a second article, and again, just as grievous, Great Ormond Street Hospital, Children's Hospital, which is one of the world's leading children's hospitals, which is one of the nation's leading children's hospitals, which is renowned for its medicine and its care of children. Great Ormond Street Hospital has advised doctors to not to use terms boys and girls. And again, this is in the interests of transgender ideology. This is in the interests of equality and diversity. This is absurd advice to children's doctors, to the leading children's doctors, some of the leading children's doctors in the world. This is just advice which is beyond understanding or comprehension. These doctors are treating boys and girls, but they're not to use the phrase boys and girls. What has become of the medical profession? Romans says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How could such a hospital make such a recommendation to doctors and nurses? Now, in my experience, the nursing staff will probably just carry it out as instructed, and the doctors will probably carry it out as instructed as well, if my experience is anything to go by. But they will all hold reservations about it, but they won't question it. And the truth of the matter is this, that over the last 5 years, the medical profession has remained shamefully silent on the question of transgender ideology. We should be speaking up. We should be shouting from the rooftops that a person can't change sex, that you're born male or female, and that's all that there is, and that there is nothing else. There are only boys and girls, nothing else. And we should be defending our children in that way. But because we've been silent, now we are being told by medical managers and so-called diversity experts that we must abandon, as the medical profession, the term boys and girls. How can we have compassion on our patients? How can we respect our patients? How can we treat our patients? How can we help our patients? How can we understand medicine if we do such a foolish thing? It's better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. This shows the outcome of the shameful silence of the medical profession. If you won't stand up and say there are only male and female, then you're going to end up drawn in and overcome by the same foolish nonsense damaging, corrupt ideology which says that we shouldn't use the terms boys and girls in case we offend someone. The medical profession has been complicit in this. And this just shows again, it just shows again how children are being used as pawns in this game. How children are being used by the ideology to promote the ideology. So the whole battle can be fought at the level of pronouns. The whole battle can be fought at the level of male and female. If we can say that people are male and female and we refer to them as he or she and it's related to biological sex, we have no problem. But people don't understand the battle. They don't understand the way the war is being fought here over pronouns and over things such as calling boys boys and calling girls girls in a children's hospital, in a leading children's hospital. This is folly, absolute folly. And my call is to the medical profession to stand up and say this is folly, to stand up and say this isn't medicine, this is ideology, and to resist at all costs. And to the nursing profession. The nursing profession, it seems, if they were told to call red blue, they would call it blue. If they're told blue red, they would call it red. That's how it can seem sometimes. We do what we're told. We are under instructions, and we don't challenge the ideology, even though it is ideology and foolish ideology. So the problem here is that neither the GMC or the doctors, the children's doctors, can say what a woman is or say what a girl is. So we might turn to the government for help, and the government has promised it will guide teachers who are stuck in a situation where multitudes of children are being transitioned or socially transitioned in schools, and the teachers can't not do it without guidance. They need guidance. Although it's a dreadful thing to do, a shocking thing to do, a damaging thing to do to a child, to give them the impression that they can change gender or that they can be a member of the opposite sex or they could have been born in the wrong body. The teachers should have nothing to do with that. They become guilty before God of putting a stumbling block before these children. But we might look to the government to sort it out, and the government has said that it will give guidance to teachers. But in this last 24 hours, there's been an article in the Telegraph, and it says that the government, that Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, may scrap plans to stop children changing gender at school. Now, this is the government abandoning children to an evil ideology. This is the government giving in to short-term political gain and political pressure and simply failing to do what they... Surely, if the government has any duty, it is to the children of our nation to protect them from false ideology. The government, I think, knows very well that the only way they can handle this is to say that a person cannot change sex and cannot be a member of the opposite sex and that there are only two genders. If the government said that, everything would be over in an instant. But what they want to do is they want to give something to everyone. So they want to say that most people can't change sex, but in a small number of cases, some people can. And it's that that opens the door to everybody changing sex and everybody being a different gender, which is a lie, which is a fraud, which is a falsehood, which is disruptive and corrupting, morally corrupting, to those who are on the receiving end of it, little children. Furthermore, I am not the first person who has pointed out, many are pointing out now, that this has all the hallmarks of sexual grooming of little children, in the way that it introduces sexual topics and sexually perverse topics to little children, destroys their innocence. It is morally corrupt. Now, there are many who will say they don't want boys and girls changing rooms for safety reasons, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. But we need to stand up as well and say it's morally corrupting. God has made us male and female in his image, and God has said that, Jesus said, whoever puts a stumbling block in front of these little ones, that it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and he'd be cast into the midst of the sea. So the government will not take a stand. The children are handed over to the abusers and to the groomers. And nobody will speak up for the obvious truth that a person cannot change sex. It's better to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than a fool in his folly. Now, there was a fourth article which I just looked at, and that is that Freddie Mercury's garden door just sold for £412,750 in an auction. Freddie Mercury died, I believe, in the early 1990s, Now, he was the lead singer of the rock band Queen, and himself a man, I believe, who promoted corruption in a very significant way amongst young people at that time. He was a huge rock star at the time when I was growing up, in my childhood and teenage years. And known for his excessive lifestyle. And a man who died of AIDS. And there was, when one night, Wembley Stadium, the old Wembley Stadium, was taken over for a memorial service for Freddie Mercury. And because we only lived about 4 miles from the stadium, and it was a very loud concert that was going on, we could hear it from our flat in Finchley in London. And people who watched it, and I didn't watch it, but people who watched it said that they were surprised. This is in 1992. They were surprised at the number of men who showed up to a memorial concert for Freddie Mercury dressed as women. In those days, that was considered shocking. These things have been around for a long time. These corrupting influences have been around for a long time. So, the GMC doesn't know what a woman is. The Great Ormond Street Hospital doesn't know what a woman is. The government doesn't know what a woman is. But Freddie Mercury's garden door sells for £412,750 at auction. It is better for a man to meet a bear robbed of her whelps than to meet a fool in his folly.